Want unbreakable ransomware protection while cutting storage costs in half or more? Myota's patented technology encrypts, shards, and spreads your data across multiple locations, guaranteeing security and recovery against cyber attacks. Try it free at myota.io. That's myota.io. Welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. I'm your host, Demetrius Malbro, and today we have Jubho Halder, who is the co-founder and now the CEO at Appnox, who is here to talk with us about the latest trends and also some of the best practices in mobile app security. So, Jubho, welcome to the Gumbo. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Demetrius. Thank you so much for inviting me to the podcast. I will discuss more about the biosecurity with you.
Awesome, awesome. So let's kick things off. First, tell the Gumbo audience a little bit about Appnox.
So Appnox is into mobile app security and protection, and we have been running for almost more than a decade now. Next April 2025, we are going to be 11 years old company. And since we started, when the digital adoption of mobile security was ongoing, when all the companies started creating mobile applications and started putting out all of the more important sensitive information in apps, and that's when we realized that, you know, web applications and other kind of applications are kind of different than how mobile applications are. And that's why I started Appnox along with my co-founder, Harshit, so that we can go ahead and make sure that these applications which are going out in Play Store and App Store are actually secured. And that's how we started. And today we are working with almost 200 plus clients, 60 plus countries. And we are also very big in giving back to the community as well. So we are working with OWASP, we are working with Google, we are working with a lot of open source projects to give back to the community as well in the mobile security category.
Awesome. And first of all, thank you for giving back to the community, because we need more people that are willing to reach back and give to the community, because we know security is such a huge challenge, and we need all hands on deck to get as much participation as we can in order to secure the world's data, and especially our cell phones, our mobile applications, because we all spend time with that cell phone in our hands, and some of us are even walking around looking down and almost running into walls just to give those devices attention. So appreciate that, Jubho. Also, what are some of the biggest mobile app security challenges that you've seen? I know you have a lot of different conversations around, but what are some of the biggest app security challenges that developers and also companies face today from your perspective?
So you rightly say that apps have become a more of an integral part of our life. So these applications hold really, really sensitive data, like your banking account information, your credit cards, and your personal identifiable information, your cards and everything. And what happens is, when these applications holding these sensitive data, security becomes really, really paramount, right? And what are some of the challenges which I'm going to talk about? It's pretty simple. Just imagine me as a developer, and as a developer, I'm only a human, and I may make some mistake, and there might be some bug which might go out in production, which might go out in Play Store or App Store, right? In terms of application, these are the production, right? When it goes to Play Store and App Store. But let's say I fix the issue and then I push an update. But imagine in your phone, if you have your phone, you go to your App Store or Play Store, you'll see there are 15 more applications waiting for it to be updated, right? And it becomes such a hassle. And so even if you are trying to secure your application, even if there is some bug which goes out, it becomes really difficult to actually deploy these fixes to the end customer. Unlike a web application or any other application where all of these fixes are almost like instant, like when you deploy in production, it's just there for everyone, every consumer to act on. But this makes it a little bit different and a little bit difficult as well for managing the security issues in these kind of mobile-based applications, right? So that's one of the current challenges. challenges. The other one I would say for this is for the companies, right? And for developers, the challenge is security is not by default. So the developer needs to write the security part of the code in the mobile application. And I can give you a small example.
Okay.
Let's say you open a website and the website has an SSL error, right? So it immediately shows you that, hey, there is an SSL error in the website, or there is a man-in-the-middle attack happening in the website, and you know, you get to know your browser is intelligent enough to tell you. But in an app, let's say you are doing a man-in-the-middle attack, unless and until the developer has written the code where it checks for the certificate that whether it's a valid certificate or not, it basically doesn't throw any errors. So as an end customer as well, you are not aware whether you are connecting actually to the correct backend or there's a man-in-the-middle attack happening. So as a developer, you not only have to write a piece of code for functionality, but you also need to keep security in mind. And that's one of the challenges a developer is facing in terms of mobile application development.
So is that man-in-the-middle attack and also the way DevOps and, I guess, developers are developing? Because the main thing that they want to do is they want to go fast, right? So it's always about, how fast can I deploy or write this piece of code to put it through the whole processing of testing and QA and put it in the sandbox and do all those things? And kind of following that SDLC, that software development lifecycle. And now security today is such a huge topic because we're continuing to see things like ransomware as well. How can we embed security into every stage of the SDLC rather than just treating it as an afterthought?
That's a great question, actually. And security needs to be taken at every stage, and that's very important. But in case of mobile application, it becomes a little bit challenging, right? Because there are different platforms. You have Android, you have iOS, and then there are different flavors of Android. You have Samsung devices might have their own SDKs, and then other devices have their own SDKs, which you want to write. So as a developer, it's very, very important that you put in security practices in your SDLC cycle. And the way they do it is leveraging something called DevOps, right? And integrating security in that DevOps practice. We also call it as a DevSecOps, right? So that's what we try to do. And if you look at it, if these bugs actually slips out, the later stage, if you figure these bugs out, it becomes more and more costly to fix these bugs, right? The faster, the earlier you catch these bugs, it becomes much, much cheaper for developers to and for the companies to fix those bugs and find those bugs and as well as push it to the production as well. So it becomes inherently very, very important for developers and companies to introduce security in their DevOps pipeline. And it also becomes a little bit challenging for mobile applications because it's a little bit difficult to set up the DevOps practices for mobile application. I've been running this company for 10 years, I would say, and the majority of DevOps for mobile apps have recently come in. I would say like 4 or 5 years before. And very specialized CI/CD pipelines have come into place, like Bitrise. So they are very specific to mobile, specific DevOps life cycles. Or even GitHub came up with their CI/CD pipeline, introducing Mac OS as a system so that you can build an iOS app in their pipelines. So the platforms becomes a little bit difficult to actually do a DevOps for mobile application. But it is very, very important, at least for a mobile application, to have these security practices right from the starting, while you are planning your code, writing good quality code. And then there are organizations like OWASP, who has come up with OWASP Top 10, AMAS project. These are all free volunteer-driven projects where we are also volunteering in these projects to make sure that we can educate developers to make sure they write good quality code, security bug-free code, and then use tools like AppNox where you can perform assessments in your DevOps lifecycle. But it doesn't stop there. Once it goes to production, you need to also do post-production assessment as well. And that's why also AppNox, there are multiple other companies which also helps you in doing that as well. But ultimately, at each point of time, these security markers are pretty important. And I would certainly say in an SDLC lifecycle, at each point of time, the friction of it should not be, security should not be seen as a friction, but it should be seen as an aid to, you know, speed up the process and make sure that it is, you know, embedded end to end from writing the code till production.
And I appreciate that. And Ken, and I know you've seen quite a bit. So you've mentioned man in the middle. I know there are so many different types of ways that mobile apps can be not so secure. Can you share any examples of security vulnerabilities that you've seen in mobile apps, either famous cases or ones you've encountered yourself that highlight the importance of integrating security early on in that, or shifting left, right, early on in that process?
Frankly, like in 2024 alone, this year alone, we have detected around almost 90,000 critical issues at Appnox, right?
Wow.
These are critical issues. These are not high, medium, or others. These are critical, 9,000 critical issues alone, right? But then I would talk about few very interesting issues which we have found, probably not in 2024, but probably in the past year, which were famous and which actually came in the news. So one of the biggest cab aggregator based out of India started a wallet system. So you can recharge your wallet with amount and then you can take a cab ride. And we actually kind of figured out that, you know, you can recharge that wallet unlimited number of times. So you can take free cab rides at any point of time. Right.
Wow.
And I'm not going to take the name of it, but it actually came in the news and we were the one who actually discovered it. And then we were working with a lot of retail sector, and we also figured out a lot of these retail sectors are using a kind of a payment SDK inside their mobile application, right? The SDK is secure, but the developers have implemented the SDK in a wrong way, right? And now what happens is I can place an order without actually paying anything. And we actually simulated one such order, and we actually got the order in our hand. And we are like, wasn't there a back-end check as well? So, yeah, so these are some of the very interesting, famous hacks which we found. But then it's not limited to that. There are so many other security issues which have been in the surface, which have been found by so many in the community. If you go to HackerRank and, you know, bug bounty platforms, you can see there are mobile-specific bug bounties. And there are so many mobile-specific bugs which have been found and been paid as well by both the companies, and even Google and Apple are paying them for those issues, right? So it's, and you should understand that for hackers, these issues are pretty interesting because they get access directly to your very sensitive information. Unlike a web app, it's more like a PII data breach. Like your email address and others are the thing, are the issues which they get. But in a mobile application, it's the attack surface, the confidentiality increases a little bit because a lot of confidential information is stored in your application. And if I am able to break into your application somehow, I can actually get a hold of those. And for the man in the middle kind of an attack, that's the number one most popular attack in a mobile application, right? So again, as I said, it's the responsibility of developer to actually code it down to make sure that that attack doesn't happen.
So you said that you guys actually found that one vulnerability where in India you could take free cab rides. Was that an exciting day? I know it wasn't a good day for the cab companies that were being taken advantage of, but walk me through the emotional side of you guys at Appnox really determining and finding through your technology that something was going on.
We put this application in our scanner. So what Appnox does is it can basically take any kind of a binary, like the APK for an Android app or an IP for an iOS app. And we were able to do a scan on top of that application. Like, we do not need the source code to perform the assessment. So what we did was this cab aggregator company based out of India, we kind of got their APK, which is their Android application, and we kind of ran an assessment over our platform, and we figured out a couple of critical issues, and we tried to figure out if we can use this critical vulnerability to actually exploit the application in terms of making fake payments. And what we discovered is it basically does not do a checksum check. Like, that's in a very layman word, it doesn't do a checksum check, right? So that is what it was missing. And what we could do is, while I try to pay, let's say like $100, let's say $1, but then I can change the amount to some other dollar amount, and then I can process the payment. And since the checksum was never checked in the app, it just goes ahead and adds that in the wallet. And that's how it is. And now I have like $10,000 in my wallet, and now I can take free taxi, I mean free cab rides all over the city. So that's what it was. Yeah, when we discovered it, the first thing, because this was really early in a really early time at Appnounce, we were unsure to whom to reach out to and how to put this bug out, because this company didn't have a bug bounty at that point of time. And we had to reach, we kind of found a contact, we kind of reached out to them, we responsibly disclosed it to them, and then they fixed it as well, of course, and that's why I am talking about this. This bug doesn't exist any longer. But yeah, for us, it was a really huge win, because it's not just discovering vulnerabilities, but it is also exploiting them to actually get something out of it. So yeah, it was really exciting on that part of it.
Yeah, and every time I jump on behind this microphone and this camera and I start having these conversations, I always realize that when I am using my cell phone or when I'm just out in the world, right? The Matrix. It's really becoming that way, because every interaction, I was just talking to a guest yesterday and we were talking about a technology for cruise ships. So not only cruise ships have a data center within the cruise ship, so there's tons of computers, networking, compute, and everything is connected. So onboarding passengers, right? Disembarkments, all of that stuff is being done digitally through applications. And they're also sending data to the cloud. So it just made me remember that everything today is really connected through a digital device endpoint. We're all really kind of walking around not really understanding the technology that we have. So it's pretty exciting to kind of hear some of the details behind the scenes around the code and the applications and being able to exploit them. So looking ahead, what do you see as the next big trend in mobile app security? I know you guys are probably developing and working on your next feature or developing your roadmap. How should teams prepare for some of these evolving app security landscape?
That's a great question, actually. The landscape has been changing quite rapidly, I would say, right? And now, so we are working towards three things, right? The first one is towards AI-based detection and, you know, actually performing an assessment on AI, Gen AI-based, you know, way of detecting issues, as well as figuring whether an app is a fake app or not, or we call it brand abuse. What we have seen is we work with a lot of Fortune 500 companies, and what we have seen is there are a lot of fake apps which goes up in the App Store and Play Store, right? And it becomes really difficult for them to keep a track of which are the fake apps and which are actual apps, right? So we are actually working towards that, using AI as an aid to figure these fake apps, or we call it brand abuse. So that's number one, which we are working on. This is more in the post-production category. The second thing which we are working towards is basically, again, leveraging the data which we have for the past 10 years, right? For the past 10 years, we have scanned almost 3.4 million applications combined, both Android and iOS. With that kind of amount of data which we have, we are actually running a lot of machine learning models to figure out patterns, and we're trying to come up with a kind of a code-based analysis. We call it DevNogs. We had a beta run as well, where it's like a spell checker for security. So while you are typing your piece of code as a developer, we kind of figure out what kind of code you are writing, and can we, you know, suggest to you a better way of writing it, which is error-free or security-free, right? We have a beta release already out there, which a lot of people have been using that. So that's the second thing which we are working towards. And of course, the third thing is mobile itself is changing in terms of landscape. There's a lot of IoT devices being connected in the phone. Like I have my Apple Watch, and then you have home automations coming in. So we are trying to expand our reach across these connected devices, which are inherently like a peripherals for phones. And we're trying to actually do an assessment on those peripheral devices as well. So these are the three areas where we are trying to expand to. And we have invested heavily on research and development towards getting these things out, because it becomes really, really difficult to perform assessment in an automated way for peripheral devices like, you know, Apple Watch apps, or to figure out whether it is a bogus app or a fake app in the App Store, or for developers to learn security, right? So we're trying to address that whole market segment and in terms of how we can help them out and how we can build a very secure ecosystem for mobile applications in the coming days.
And in one sentence, how can Gumbo listeners just take better security or take better precautions with their cell phone?
Interesting. Do not download application outside the verified Play Store and App Store application, right? And second, please look after the permissions in the application. What are the permissions the application wants? It's very, very important. Like, your flashlight does not require your contact permissions, right? It should not generally never want to look at your call logs permission, right? So, and all of these permissions are really defined. They may not require your location permission. I would suggest you to switch off all the permission and only use it only when you know that it is required, right? Just to give you an example, I use Uber, but I do not give them location permission. The only time I give it is whenever I call for a cab, I open up Uber, I give it permission, I call the cab, and then I switch off the permission once again. I know I'm a little bit fanatic in that sense, but it's better be sure than never.
It sounds like you and I maybe need to jump on a short 2 or 3 minute. Here's how you can have a secure Uber ride or Lyft ride, and throw that on YouTube to see how many hits it get. But I really appreciate you being on here. I have enjoyed the conversation, and I've taken away some insights as well. How can the Gumbo listeners find your company, your solution, and also maybe a shout out on anything that you'd like to leave for the Gumbo listeners?
Absolutely. So for all the Gumbo listeners, if you are running a business or if you're working in a business where mobile application is a way of interacting with your customers, then you should reach out to AppNox. You can go to our website, appnox.com. Or you can reach out to me in LinkedIn. Happy to help you. I'm really active in LinkedIn, and I kind of help a lot of people. I also run a LinkedIn group. Probably I'll give you the link post the podcast. And
what's
you guys
the name
can
of
join
the group?
That. It's Mobile App Security Tips by AppNox. That's the LinkedIn group name. And that's where I kind of keep interacting with people. There are a lot of members there where they post their own findings and kind of try to help people over there in that group. So that's kind of a give back I can give to the Gumbo listeners. Yeah, would happy to help all of you. Please do join the group. Happy to help you there as well.
Well, fantastic. I also have a LinkedIn group. It's called Backup and Recovery Professionals, and there's 26,000 people in that group. So, yeah, I've been running it for a while. And I also want to let the Gumbo listeners know and send a reminder that we are on YouTube. So we only have like 69 subscribers. So please, please, please forward it to your friends. Please go to YouTube and also subscribe and also hit that notification button, because every week I'll be posting a brand new Data Protection Gumbo podcast episode. And also I'll be going on as well and just uploading random short episodes as well, providing insights and information that's very relevant to the data protection industry. So Shubo, thank you once again, and we'll see you next time on Data Protection Gumbo.
Thanks, Demetrius, for having me in your podcast.